You are listening to a message from Thrive Community Church, a church located in Southwest Florida. For more info, visit us at thrive-fl.org.
This is our second week, and we're going to be talking about the different aspects of shape. And I'll explain that in a minute, but let's pray first. Lord God, may you be glorified here right now in this message that for all the different people who are here this morning and have different needs, that you would be meeting them all. And through this fellowship, Lord, in some way that we're able to serve one another, pray for one another, be there for one another, and that you have uniquely shaped each one of us, Lord God. And we just pray that now you'd be teaching us a little more about that, encouraging us to explore, building us, Lord, to trust you even more, to live out the purposes for which you intend our lives to be. All this we pray now, and we pray not only for here, Lord, but for all the different campus ministries at FGCU and for all the different churches in our area that are sharing your gospel. We pray that you'd be blessing them this morning, that you would have them grow and flourish, that you would have them be used by you in amazing ways. All this, Lord, for the sake of your kingdom, for the sake of your glory, that there would be a movement in Southwest Florida that many, many people come to know your love, your mercy, your grace, your truth, and be transformed as a result. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can tell my voice is not quite here. Actually, I feel a lot better. I know. I do feel a lot better. I finally went to the doctor. You know, doctors are good. And I got my antibiotics, but be praying that I can get through this message and that my voice does not become a distraction to you. So as I mentioned, we are in this series called Shape, and it's called Shape kind of as an acronym as well for the different aspects that we're going to look at how God has shaped you. S is for spiritual gifts, H is for heart, A is for abilities, P is for personality, and E is for experience. So today, in our second week, we're going to be on spiritual gifts. And our passage comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are a variety of service, but the same Lord, and there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So last week we said that you are a piece of work. Do you remember that? You're a piece of work. You are. You are God's piece of work. You are his workmanship. And what's interesting, it's not just any piece of work. The passage here, Ephesians 2:10, when it uses the word workmanship, that is a specific Greek word that's fascinating to me. It's the word poiema, which is where we get the word poem from. You are a piece of God's poetry, displaying his glory, sharing it, an artistic piece of work, not just a manufactured factory, you know, mass media, mass produced thing, but you are poetry in motion, as people have said. You are God's poetry. There is so much to you and so much that you are being shaped. It's amazing. You are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand. So we're in the second week, and we're looking at what's called spiritual gifts and how you are gifted by no less than the Holy Spirit, everyone, okay? Now, Most of the letters of the New Testament, I don't know if you realize this or not, they were occasional letters. That is, they were written to an occasion. So Paul founded many of these churches, like Corinth. He went to Corinth. And he heard about what was going on at Corinth, some of the problems they were having and some of the situations and questions they had. And so he wrote this letter, 1 Corinthians, to that church. And in it, he deals with all of these situations. And let me tell you, the Corinthian church had a lot of problems. They were a lot of problems. Why did they have a lot of problems? Because they were full of a lot of problems because they were full of themselves. And I'll tell you this, when you're full of yourself, you're going to have a lot of problems. You really are. That's one of the problems right there. And he has to deal with that. So when he deals with this area of spiritual gifts, he's actually dealing and addressing an issue where they had gotten things pretty well distorted because they were so into edifying themselves and building themselves up and being puffed up with their knowledge and being so full of themselves and being wealthy and knowledgeable and just into ecstatic experiences. It's very similar to how we are in the United States this day. We're into kind of the amusement parks and the enjoyment and the self-expression and self everywhere. So I think this letter has a lot to say to us as well. And as he addresses this letter, we're going to learn, well, I think what Paul's really getting at with all this is, what kind of a church do we want to be? Okay? What kind of a church? That's kind of the question behind this. And so we're looking at spiritual gifts and how they were handled in Corinth, but also what kind of a church do they want to be? So here are the three points that we're going to look at. What are spiritual gifts? You might wonder about that. Why are spiritual gifts given? Why are we given them? And how to discover your spiritual gifts. But first of all, what are spiritual gifts? Okay? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what we read, this is what Paul says, and you can kind of see the different words that are used for the same type of thing. It's kind of parallelisms here. Now, there are different varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, a variety of service, but the same Lord, a variety of activities, the same God, and each one is given the manifestation. So you see those words there? This is what a spiritual gift is. And so Timothy Keller, he's just retired, but he's a pastor from Manhattan. He put it this way. He said, every Christian receives spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is an ability that comes to you freely for the purpose of ministering to needs so as to build up Christian community in size and depth. That's what a spiritual gift is. Okay? Now, what kind of a church do we want to be? I think there's a lot to say in this passage that way. So he says every Christian is given gifts. Everyone here has a ministry. He tells us that throughout this chapter, throughout this whole book, chapter 12, 13, and 14, he's talking about how we minister to one another and that there is no one that's like got all the gifts. We're interdependent. You know, a lot of people come to church these days. I've noticed this is kind of a national phenomenon here. They come as consumers. Do you know what I mean by that? They come to get a fix. It's kind of like going to the movies or going to a restaurant. You know, you get good food, you go back. You don't go back. You go to a movie, you like it, you go back to a different movie or the same in the sequel or whatever, right? And that's kind of how they treat church. It's kind of like shopping for churches, shopping for this, shopping for the fix. And as long as it feels good, as long as I get what I want, and we are consumers, that we sit there, we hear, we listen, we sing, we participate, we watch, and there is some person, some professional that ministers to us, or like right now, I'm teaching. Hopefully they're pretty good, you know. But, and you, your job is to just sit there. Right? So much of Christianity has turned into what I call the religious entertainment complex. Okay? It's kind of like the military-industrial complex. but the religious entertainment complex. And we have now gotten to the point where everything is kind of focused on that, and churches are trying to grow and build themselves up, and just whatever's going to attract the crowd, get as many people in to sit there and to participate and to get involved. And this happens from highly liturgical, traditional-styled congregations to extremely casual, modern, contemporary congregations. But I see, it seems to me, that kind of understanding is starting to fray. It's getting harder and harder to keep on that path. It's like the squirrel in that circular cage, just going around and around, and each time we have to do it more and more and more. It's got to be a better fix, a better fix. And it's starting to fall apart. Because I don't think church was ever meant to be that. Ever. I'm not saying we should have lousy music or a lousy preacher and you should come anyways. That's not what I'm trying to say, but to each one is given a ministry. It's not a one-way thing. It's not just me up here and you there. You know, I grew up in a very traditional church that was founded in 1845. I know, it's almost like the Jurassic period, right? And but the method there too, even though it was very traditional, very liturgical, was we came to church, we sat down in the pew, we listened, we sang, we soaked, we soured. we threw $20 in, that was it. That was church. It's not the kind of church we want to be. No. That's not the type of church we want to be here at Thrive. Every one of us has a ministry. Every one of us has a purpose. Every one of us has a gift mix. There is nobody with all the gifts that can be independent of everyone else. That's the way, not the way God set up, that Jesus set up the body of Christ. Everyone has different gift matrix. There's a bunch of different gifts that you have that nobody else has. And everyone has a unique calling and a unique placement in the body. And there's a variety of these throughout the body of Christ. So that together we're whole. Together we are connected and in community. And that's the way the gifts work. As Paul stated, everyone who says Jesus is Lord has the gift of the Holy Spirit. They're not first class and second class Christians, by the way. Some with gifts and some without. There's not the professional and the amateurs. Do you realize we're all amateurs? The word amateur basically means you keep practicing at it. Okay? So the professional class doesn't serve the amateur class, and the amateurs, it's not that way at all. We are the body of Christ, individually members of it, and you have a ministry, and I have a ministry. They're not the same. They're not supposed to be the same. And nobody functions in place of everybody else. Everybody has a function. Everybody has a place. Now, I think there's a lot of controversy about spiritual gifts across the United States and in Christian churches, and you can hear all sorts of different teachings on this. My grounding is to keep going back to the scriptures, back to the biblical basis, like 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and other passages, rather than just to talk to you about my experiences with them. And what I see happening and why there's so much controversy is because people do not necessarily turn to the scriptures and say, what does God say here, and how is Paul instructing this church here? But they are basically turning to their experiences and their subjective impressions on how it's supposed to work. It kind of goes like this. Since I went to summer camp, somebody would say, and that's where I was converted and became a Christian, everybody else should have that same experience. And you're not a real Christian unless you know exactly where and when and how you became a Christian. And other people would say, I've always believed in Jesus. I can't remember a time that I didn't. I mean, even when I was before kindergarten, Jesus was somebody I always prayed to and I trusted him. And so to be the real Christian is to be like me. And other people will say, I've got the gift of wisdom and I can show discernment and insights. And so that's the best gift because it's the one I've got. You know what I mean? Have you ever heard that? And others will say, well, I've got the, and so we tend to play that game where the Bible says everyone has a variety of gifts. My gifts are not better than your gifts. My ministry is not more important than your ministry. Our ministry together is what's important. A variety of workings, the same manifestations, a variety of instruments in an orchestra, right? But the same harmonious sound. A variety of members of the body, Paul will say, but one purpose of the body. A variety of different parts in a play, but the same plot line throughout. Oh, thank you. All right. I don't know. It's so far deep in my throat. Yeah, maybe that would be good. I'm so sorry. I really didn't anticipate it was going to be that bad this morning. I am on every medication I can think of, except a hot toddy. I didn't think Sunday morning was a good thing for a hot toddy. Okay. So what kind of a church do we want to be? Okay. One where everyone knows how God has gifted them. And one where everyone is utilizing their gifts to serve and others and glorify God. One where everybody is appreciated for their unique gift mix and who they are as a person. One where we aren't comparing each other. One that is not kind of a structured pyramid, second, third class, whatever situation. One where my ministry is the one up front often is no more important than what God is doing through you in this world. Did you get that? We've got some ways to go because we're kind of fighting we're being countercultural with this, but I think Paul is in this passage as well. So spiritual gifts, again, are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Gifts of the Holy Spirit for the purpose of ministering to the needs of other people so the whole Christian community is built up in depth and strength. Why? Why are you given gifts? Okay? I think there's been a common way to do church. People would say, well, why even talk about spiritual gifts? Why don't we just use, you know, people's natural abilities and talents? You know, if they're good at business, they should probably be our treasurer. And if they're good at this, they should do that in the church, etc. And we treat then, in that sense, we treat the church as if it's just like every other voluntary organization on the planet. Do you know what I mean? Where, oh, well, it's just like any other nonprofit. It is not. This is a divine reality that is happening here this morning. You are part of the body of Jesus Christ. That's what he says. Not that you might be like Jesus Christ. You are the body of Christ. There is a divine reality about what happens here. And the ministry that happens here has something that goes beyond the natural abilities that I could ever have or possess. You know, Jesus shared a fascinating truth to his disciples right before he was crucified. He has this discourse, this long discussion with them in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16. And in John 14, he says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Now, I know a lot of people have misused this passage and twisted it. And in fact, our series after this one is being called Twisted. And this passage will come up as one of the many passages in the Bible that gets all twisted up. And We're going to look at those in a four-week series, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's kind of like a game show. Twisted. Let's see how you can twist this one up. But there's a truth here that Jesus is sharing with us about why we have spiritual gifts. Okay? This verse declares a reality that we are together continuing the ministry of Jesus Christ on earth. And in ways, together with the 2 billion people who profess his name across this planet, we actually are doing more than he did in his earthly life. We are in every continent, in every town, in every village, in every place, in every language, sharing the love of God, healing, teaching, serving, giving, in ways Jesus never did. We are feeding more people today than Jesus ever fed, even miraculously in his life. We are teaching more people than he ever taught, even in the largest crowds he had. We are doing things greater than he ever did, and that was his intent from the beginning, and your spiritual gifts are part of that. We're proclaiming more truth and more wisdom. We are sharing more than he ever shared, and that has always been his intent. This is Jesus' continued ministry together that we have. I'm not necessarily doing it myself, of course not, but together with all the rest of you, it is a greater ministry. That's what he's getting at. So, like I would say, Jesus is in prison right now evangelizing, and he's out in the park as he is feeding the homeless. And he is on the every continent where he is making disciples. And he is in college speaking wisdom. And he's in the neighborhood healing and caring for the sick. And your gifts, whatever they are his continued ministry in this world. One of the amazing teachings I learned a couple years ago is the fact that you could take all the spiritual gifts that are kind of listed, not exhaustively, but kind of descriptively throughout the New Testament. In passages like Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 and 1 Peter. And you can list all of these out and divide them into the threefold ministry of Jesus Christ himself as prophet, priest, and king. You see, whatever the spiritual gift is that you have, it's part of his prophetic ministry, his priestly ministry, or his kingly ministry on this earth. So, prophetic gifts, they're abilities that are based on the understanding and articulating God's truth to people in such a way for, like, evangelism, where you are able to share the good news of Jesus in such a way that people can believe and go, yes. Where you could be teaching and they are gaining God's truth. Where you could be prophesying. And that word really means to proclaim God's truth in an effective, like convicting way of that gets a clarifying way that others will go and they are convicted and or brought closer to God. Or just in speaking and instructing people and granting them wisdom. Those are prophetic gifts. There are priestly gifts that are basically based on the ability to understand and supply God's basic needs to the people. Prophetic gifts are where a person is speaking on behalf of God to the people. Priestly gifts are where the needs of the people are brought to God. And so things like encouragement or counseling or helping or healing or gifts of mercy or giving generously to specific needs so that you are giving way beyond what's, quote, normal, and people are amazed and ministered to just by the amazing magnificence of the gift of being willing to serve. Those are priestly gifts. And finally, there are kingly gifts. And that is based on the needs of the body of Christ itself for direction and leadership. Abilities based on understanding what those group needs are. So apostleship is people who are sent out to do amazingly new ministries, kind of like the spiritual entrepreneurs, you know, that take the risks. Leadership in general and organizing and administrating the body of Christ. Wisdom that shows how to artfully care for and connect different people in such a way that they don't feel like things or pigeonholed into places, but they realize that they are truly built up. And faith here is where you challenge people to trust God greater than they've ever done and get out of their comfort zone. Those are kingly gifts. Now, what haven't I talked about yet? Yeah, John, wait a minute. What about the gift of tongues? That was one of the most talked about gifts in Corinth, probably for the wrong reasons. Okay? What I mean by that is, like I said, they were into themselves big time. And the more that you're into yourself, the more problems you're going to have. And they had a problem with this gift big time because everybody was doing it all the time in any way they wanted. Woo, it's all about me. And Paul would say, yes, that is a gift of God. It's a gift that I myself have, and I'm glad I have it. But he would say this in 1 Corinthians 14:19. In the church, in a group like this, I'd rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. They considered it the greatest gift because it was all about them. And Paul said that too. He says, the one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up. It's all self-edification. But the one who prophesies, that speaks and proclaims God's truth, builds up the church. And Paul said, in the end, why are you given these gifts? They're not for you. Your gifts are not for you. They're for others. They are for someone else. Someone else needs you to serve them. Someone else needs you to teach them. Someone else needs you to encourage them. Okay? So tongues, I find that it's kind of funny. I've been places where I've seen tongues like 1,000 people all at once, doing it. I don't see anywhere in the scriptures that says that that's a good thing. It says 1, 2, 3 at the most, only if there's an interpreter. Okay? That's what the scriptures say. And I'll tell you, I think you can find how healthy the church is by how much emphasis is placed on things like tongues. If you see a church that is all about tongues all of the time, you are seeing, I would say, a very self-absorbed congregation. And Jesus wants these gifts for the sake of others. If you got that gift, praise God. Try to figure out how you are built up by that gift so that you can start building up others. Whatever gift you have is not for you, but it's for others. And so when we come down to what kind of a church do we want to be, I want to be the kind of church that Paul talks about here in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Do you know chapter 13, what that is? 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. And we think, oh, how lovely. He's got a whole chapter on love, right? Why did he have to talk about love? The Corinthians didn't know what it was. They thought love was being self-absorbed. Love was feeling good about me. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not boastful. Love is not envious. That's why Paul spelled it out. So I want to be a church that realizes that all the gifts that I have are for the sake of me loving others. So that we are interdependent on each other, a community together in ministry, sharing God's love. I want to be the most loving church, the most accepting church, the most amazingly open church to anyone to appreciate the gift that God has in them and to share that love on a substantial basis. That's the church that's using its gifts properly. Well, okay, John, that's great. How do I know what I'm gifted at? How do I discover my spiritual gifts? Okay? Best way, I think, start serving. Just start taking opportunities and serve and see how it goes. You know, if you do something and people get encouragement from what you did, you may have the gift of encouragement. If you teach a group of people, if you share in a Bible study or in a home huddle or something, an insight that you have and people are lifted up and exhorted or get some clarity in what they've learned from that, you may have the gift of teaching. If you come into a situation and you help organize it and plan it and admit, you may have the gift of administration. Let other people give you feedback. Now, I've included in the Bible notes, if you go into the YouVersion of the Bible, you will find on the YouVersion of the Bible events, and you can find all the notes to this message. And in it, there is a shape test you can take, a free shape test. And there is some good to that, but it's amazing how the New Testament never has, this is how you discover your spiritual gifts anywhere and list out how to do it. And the shape test is good in so far as you know yourself very well. The truth is, most of us don't know ourselves that well. Okay? I don't really know what I'm good at. I know that, you know, I do and I don't. You learn over time. But you know how I learn over time? By getting feedback from other people. And that's what we're going to do in my home huddle this week. We're going to share with each other, I think this is what I might be gifted at. These might be my spiritual gifts. And hear the feedback from others. Yes, you've got that gift of encouragement. I see it all the time. Now, Timothy Keller says, another way to do it, there are three factors that come together that probably would tell you what your gifts are. The first is affinity. That is, that you have a passion for something. And you want to make a minister in that situation. Secondly is ability, that you're effective at doing something and people have responded to that. And third is opportunity, that there's an open door and you walk through it. And he says, and I agree with him, start with opportunity. Just start serving, finding out what it is, and you will start seeing the results. You will start seeing people say, yes, you're gifted at that. And we will finally get to a place in our home huddles, in our Thrive FGCU group, in our church in general, to say, hey, I need you. I'm not complete in myself. Can you help me with this? We're trying to minister to these people. We're trying to do this. We're trying to do that. And we all will grow in our ministry. That's the kind of church we want to be. And it really gets back, again, to Jesus. How he served, how he lived. He's the only person who has all the spiritual gifts, the sevenfold fullness of the Spirit. And yet, do you know how he used his gifts? Did he ever do a miracle for himself? Serving others. You know, he was totally hungry, 40 days in the wilderness, right? And the devil says, hey, make some pizza, you know? Take these stones. Matzah, something, I don't know, any type of bread. And Jesus would not, and you cannot find a place in the New Testament that he used any of his miraculous powers for himself. He fed others. He served others. He proclaimed and taught others. He never built himself up. He never puffed himself up. He never fulfilled himself. He didn't say, I need a me day. He glorified his Father. He served others. He proclaimed God's truth. That's the ministry that we have. And this Jesus is the one who kept doing that even when we looked at him, because it was so alien to find anybody who lived that way. So absolutely foreign. Something's got to be wrong with him. No. And we projected on him all of our false motives, all of our garbage. We scapegoated him. We called him all sorts of things. Do you realize he was called some racial slurs? He was called a Samaritan when he wasn't. He was called demonically possessed. He was rejected and treated like garbage because we couldn't handle how he served, whom he served, that he would even be that. He showed us our selfishness, and we could not stand it. He became the scapegoat. Ultimately, being crucified for that. And God was pleased to bring that about and let that happen for you. Because that is the way you get the ministry of Jesus. You are forgiven. You are loved. You are accepted because he was rejected. You are welcomed because we threw him out and cast him out. And you are righteous because all the sins of the world were placed upon him. Spiritual gifts do not free float around for whatever way I want to use them. It's always in the ministry of Jesus as prophet, priest, and king. So, do you know who this Jesus is? Do you know how you are gifted? Do you know that God has shaped you? That he has purposes for you beyond your imagination. You can't even dream as big as God has plans for you. Isn't that amazing? Let's pray. Lord God, this day, so often we just rely on ourselves when all these gifts, this ministry that you've given us, Lord Jesus, you want us to continue the ministry that you started, how you served, how you gave, how you loved, how you forgave, how you proclaimed truth. Lord, you gifted everyone in this room. First of all, we thank you, Lord, that you bring and give the gift of faith. That right now we can trust you. That you are our righteousness and you took all our sin. That we can trust you. That you were crucified so that we would be raised to new life. We can trust you and place our whole lives on you, and we thank you for that. We pray, Lord, that you'd teach us now to be the kind of church that reflects your love, your mercy, your grace, and your truth to this community and world. And though we are small, Lord, so were your first disciples, just a few dozen. And yet, you've changed the world through them. And greater things, Lord, you will do through us as well. We pray all this in your precious name, dear Jesus. Amen.